Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. It's a Thursday. News, information, and comment. Stay tuned. But first, let me ask you, have you ever shopped at an open-air market or a flea market? Kind of fun. Oftentimes, the shopkeepers of these establishments purposely display items without a price. Kind of clever. It's a sales strategy. It revolves around the premise that customers will bargain with them to arrive at an agreeable price. By the way, we just started trying this in our Thai business on the internet. It's make an offer. We get twice, three times the sales that we used to. And it's the idea that, hey, I want $15. The guy says, I'll pay $10. And, well, that's kind of what I was going to ask. And it's pretty cool. Bargaining. You don't want to bargain with God, however. The result is not good for you. Have you ever prayed, God, if you'll just stay out of this area of my life, I will serve you more diligently? No, you don't want to do that. Bring your doubts, your fears, your worries to God today in prayer. He loves you. He's concerned about what's going on in the smallest details of your life. When you're ready to stop bargaining, God will lead you to a place of peace and absolute blessings. We're up. We're down. It's good. Oh, it's bad. Stocks traded sharply lower on Thursday, giving back some of the strong gains from the previous day amid renewed tensions between China and the USA. The Dow fell 246 points, led by losses in Caterpillar and United Technology. The S&P 500 pulled back 1% as the energy and industrial sectors lagged. It was a record-breaking day yesterday. Yeah, historic 1,000-point surge, the greatest ever. But that was yesterday. Tell it like it is, Mr. President. Donald Trump and First Lady Melania Trump made a surprise visit to Iraq on Wednesday. Wait a minute, I was just reading that it was first president ever not to do... Oh, he did go. Oh, they must have egg on their face today. Anyway, their first visit into a war zone since the sitting president took office nearly 2 years ago. They left from Joint Base Andrews in Maryland shortly after midnight. That was Christmas Eve, with a small group of journalists and aides in tow. Trump was in the country for roughly 3 hours before the White House confirmed his whereabouts. The president delivered a speech to the rank and file at the Al-Asad Air Base, took selfies with the troops, and met with military leaders in Iraq. I want to come and pay my respects, and most importantly, to the great soldiers, he said in that visit, great troopers we have here. Trump announced last week that he's pulling American troops out of neighboring Syria because he has defeated ISIS in that nation, and they're also mired in a civil war. And then he said something that only Trump could say. We're no longer the suckers, folks. We are respected again as a nation. You know what Trump is like? He's like that doctor. I used to not like them very well. I had one. Come to your bedside and say, hey, you got problems. You're overweight. You need to lose 100 pounds. You got to stop smoking, stop drinking, or you're going to be dead. Terrible bedside manner. But when it's all said and done, you know he's right. Meanwhile, Iraqi lawmakers demanded U.S. forces leave the country in the wake of a surprise visit by the president that politicians denounced as arrogant and a violation of Iraqi sovereignty. Politicians from both blocs of Iraq's divided parliament called for a vote to expel U.S. troops and promised to schedule an extraordinary session to debate the whole thing. Tom Fenton, president of Judicial Watch, explaining this Russia investigation, he said it's existing largely to harass the president of the United States. His exact words, Robert Mueller's special counsel. That's a sign that our Justice Department is out of control and is definitely anti-Trump. It's not a sign that he's investigating anything substantive. A Tennessee-bound business jet crashed yesterday, killing all four people on board when it plunged into a football field at an Atlanta, Georgia park, igniting its fuel and sending thick smoke over a nearby neighborhood. The plane is registered to Wai Chen, chief executive officer of Sunshine Enterprises. According to CBS, he was aboard the plane when it went down. Those who knew Mr. Chen say he was a remarkable man and a true American dream. It was in 2011 that Chen became the first Chinese pilot to circle the globe in a single-engine plane. and he was named to Memphis, Tennessee's Business Journal's 40 Under 40 in 2008. You never know when it's all going to end. Depressing, always depressing. Going to talk about this later in the show, but outside the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, talking about San Francisco, California now, right there in downtown San Fran, a woman potties on the sidewalk and smokes a crack pipe. Inside her purse are about a dozen used heroin needles. She shoots up heroin 10 times every day. That's what she says. About 50 yards away, a man injects another woman in the neck with a needle. She puts her thumb in her mouth and blows out to make her vein more visible. Her right arm is caked with blood. Oh, what an awful sight. This San Francisco neighborhood is the home of the headquarters of Uber and Twitter and Salesforce. But stroll around here and you're also likely to find used drug paraphernalia, trash, human excrement on the sidewalks, and people lying in various states of consciousness. Public drug use and homelessness are now not new problems to the city of San Francisco. Residents say the situation has gotten worse in recent years. As of October, 7,500 complaints about discarded needles have been made this year. Because of cell phones, more and more people doing videos every day of the big mess in downtown San Francisco. It's the new America. Good news. I need some good news. Well, there are fathers, and then there are fathers. An Ohio dad went to great lengths to spend Christmas with his daughter. Oh, yeah. Pierce Vaughn is a flight attendant for Delta, and she had to work several flights throughout Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, so her dad, Hal, bought multiple plane tickets to spend the holiday in the sky with his daughter. Pierce's story went viral after a passenger who was seated next to Hal on one of those flights shared the encounter on Facebook. I had the pleasure of sitting next to Hal on my flight back home. His daughter Pierce was our flight attendant who had to work over Christmas. Dad wanted to spend the holiday with her, so he's flying each of her flights today and tomorrow all over the country just to spend time with his daughter. What a fantastic father. More news right after this. Here's a great question. Why is it that so many people who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior live as though they do not know Him? Unfortunately, it's not uncommon to encounter a fellow believer whose life is consumed with jealousy and anger and bitterness or depression. I already said we're going to talk about that later. Despite his or her decision to follow Jesus, evidence of sin and disobedience indicates the lack of a growing relationship with Almighty God. And this brings us to the question, then, is salvation enough? With your decision to accept Christ as your guaranteed eternal life in heaven, what does salvation mean to us in our lives right here on this earth? Anything, really? Paul provides valuable insight in his letter to the Colossians. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Is there an emotion, a habit, an area of your life labeled with keep out, a keep out sign right there? Don't be afraid to allow God in. He's the divine creator and Lord of all the universe. Will you trust Him today to be the Lord of your life? No problem, none. Too large or too small for His concern. When I first heard and saw this story, and it's been more than once, I thought, this guy is really dumb. And now a New Jersey superintendent has decided the referee who made a black wrestler cut his dreadlocks before a match or forfeit the match is not going to work in that district again. They had an emergency meeting. The decision made by the school board Wednesday night for the Buneau Regional School District, a meeting held to discuss personal matters, as they called it, according to a notice on the school's website and under the area of action to be taken. My, oh my, we just do some stupid things in the world today, don't we? Well, a Russian man has been killed by a bear that he raised from a cub and kept in a makeshift enclosure from a little baby. The man's bloodied remains found on his property in Russia. Police were called to the scene on Christmas Eve and discovered some blood spatters. Officers were forced to shoot the bear dead. The bear threatened citizens' lives, according to the statement. Police did not release any information about the 41-year-old victim other than he took this bear in as a baby and it killed him. How many guns were there? Dateline, Marysville, Washington. The plan was really quite simple. Steal tools and pawn them for the money. That's what two men, 22 and 23 years of age, reportedly had in mind when they showed up at the Coastal Farm and Ranch store in Marysville Saturday afternoon. They allegedly took four nail guns, each worth $400, and walked out of the store and got into a Honda Civic. They didn't expect to be surrounded by six customers, all of them pulling guns. One customer was standing in front of the car yelling at the alleged thieves to get out of the car now. "He won't shoot. Run him over," said one of the suspects. The driver pulled forward, causing the man confronting him to land on the hood. Another customer shot at the driver's side front tire. Someone shot the car one more time as it left the parking lot. An employee saw the car leaving and drove after the theft suspects. He said he saw one of the men lean out a passenger window and hold up what looked like a gun. The employee stopped chasing at that time. Police would like to know this. Who shot at the getaway car? Please come forward. You never know. Okay, give me a flat top, Sam. That's what I had said back in 1965. Wait a minute, he was cutting hair then too? Dateline, Windsor, New York, the oldest working barber in all the world, is making sure his clients look and feel their best. He works right in New York in the smallest upstate town of Windsor. The town's oldest resident is still working today. Hey, Sam, how old are you? It's not Sam, it's Anthony Marcelli. And 107 would be that number. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records as the oldest barber in the world, so how does it feel? I don't know, I'm just happy I'm still a barber, he says. He works full-time, putting in over 40 hours a week. And his advice for living so long? Well, I advise a lot of people not to quit working. Keep busy. Some retire too soon and they get old fast. You know, that happened to my dad after 47 years at General Electric Company, and he didn't last long after he retired. Marcelli started cutting hair at age 11. Oh, 96 years ago. I wanted to help out the family. He went on to have a family of his own and was married for 69 years. I miss her so. I go to the cemetery every day before I come to barber. His son Bob is a young 85. He's in better shape than I am. He's still going, still working 5 days a week, said the son. I retired at 81. Mancelli has no plans to slow down. Says he'll keep doing what he's doing and keep the younger generation looking good. Oh, I'm sure he will. He'll be 108 in March. He lives on his own. Drives himself to work every day. Okay. And now this, and by the way, depression, plague you, stick around, I want to talk to you. A piece of property, they'll take it. That used car you want to get rid of, they'll take it. Cash, check, money order, credit card. Hey, there's always a need in Christian radio, beyond belief. I've worked in both Christian radio and secular radio. Sometimes you're getting fat on the secular side, but I've never seen that happen in Christian radio. It's tough just to meet budget week after week, month after month. Your opportunity now, my friend, to help this station stay on the air and continue to broadcast the good news of Jesus Christ. So you pray about it. See how you might help out the station in your area that is sending out the good news that Jesus saves and your life can be changed as you surrender to Him. We're always appealing, aren't we? Yeah, but that's life, my friend, and it's a fact. Money is needed now. Just pray about it, then get in touch with this local station. Say, I would like to, you just fill in the blank. And we thank you in advance. So why would a Christian ever be depressed? Can you be, and is it scriptural? And is America great? Was she ever really great? Is she going to be great again? Now think about these things, my friend, because it's very important. What's going to happen to America? Or why is God angry at this country? What is truth? You shall know the truth, it'll set you free. A good reading today might be 2 Timothy 3:1. In the end times, and they're coming, it will be terrible in those last days. People will be lovers of themselves. Tell me we're not there. Lovers of money, and boastful people, and proud, and abusive, and disobedient to their parents. My goodness. It's never been like this, has it? Ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal. Not lovers of good, for sure. The Bible says the last days on earth are going to be filled with tragedy, and there's not much good news in the world right now, is there? Doomsday, bearing down on America, think about it. In the minds of many, sure. Others see the future as providing more fantastic opportunities. Things are wonderful, especially in the last 2 years. Opportunities at every hand. New inventions happening. Microchip technology. Levels of communication and efficiency that most never dreamed of. It's a great day in America. Is it? While technological advances continue to impress us, there's also the ever-growing dark side of man. Read Jeremiah 17:9. Man's nature is being revealed in his misrule of the planet. You hear these stories every day on Hello World. Poverty, war, ethnic tensions continue to worsen. Even in the United States of America, the nation widely recognized as the most powerful and influential nation of the free world. It's currently experiencing difficulties, right? How many people are behind President Trump? How many people were behind President Obama? Who really is the leader? So what does the future hold? Will technology be used to bring about recovery, or will it be used by evil-minded men to bring about our demise? According to the Bible, what will happen to America? You know, the majority of people who settled in this country have a unique connection to the biblical patriarch Abraham and his descendants. You can read in Genesis 48:13 through 16 explaining how Joseph, Abraham's great-grandson, was sold into slavery by his brothers, yet became a powerful ruler in Egypt. Joseph's two sons, Ephraim, Manasseh, received from their grandfather Jacob a special blessing, did they not, that had previously been passed down from Abraham? Prophecies in the Bible reveal that these two brothers, Ephraim and Manasseh, would rise to prominence. Today, the descendants of those two are largely the peoples of Great Britain and the United States, respectively. To understand what's going to happen to America, you have to study biblical prophecy directed toward Manasseh. The Bible prophesies that the descendants of this man would become a great nation, and that the descendants of his brother Ephraim would become a multitude of nations, Genesis 48:19. The United States and Britain, and some of its former colonies, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, are the nation and a group of nations that best fit this biblical description. We have really been blessed here in America. As far as military prowess and physical blessings go, the Bible says that in the last days, the descendants of Joseph would be exceptionally blessed above all other nations, even their own brethren, and other nations that would rise from Abraham's descendants, Genesis 49. These prophecies have come to pass, just as God said. And the United States, hey, it's unusual. Summarizing the physical resources of this country, such as the American geography, it's an impressive one. The Great Mississippi Basin, together with intercoastal waterways, has more miles of navigable internal waterways than the rest of the world combined. The American Midwest is both overlaid by this waterway and is the world's largest contiguous piece of farmland. The U.S. Atlantic coast possesses more major ports than the rest of the Western Hemisphere combined. Two vast oceans insulated the United States from Asian and European powers. Deserts separate the United States from Mexico to the south. Lakes and forests separate the population in Canada from those in the United States. The United States has capital, food surplus, physical insulation in excess of every other country in the world by an exceedingly large margin. Sure it does. And people continue to wonder, why does God bless the United States despite all of our evil here? The U.S. is a powerful nation with abundant fertile land, a good climate, and laws that allow for creativity and investment in hard work and the ability to enjoy the fruits of one's labor. But in spite of the United States' blessings, my friend, poor decisions by leadership through the years have threatened the way of life of so many Americans, those that have come to enjoy this old world. Irresponsible increases in debt and entitlement programs that cannot possibly be sustained at current levels of taxation are problems passed on from one generation to the next. You take care of that. Most of those listening to this radio broadcast are Christian, are conservative in their ideas and philosophies. And one of the dangers of all of this stuff, especially politically, is getting your eyes off of God and onto a man. Remember, God is in charge. Always has been, always will be. This week, we're going to talk more about America's position in the world and why does God continue to bless us so? Solomon wrote, "Everything under the sun is meaningless, like chasing after the wind," Ecclesiastes 1:14. Do you ever feel like that's happening? Everything in your life is meaningless? You're chasing the wind? No wonder you can get depressed in the world today. And no wonder I asked the question as we started, should a Christian ever be depressed? I think now more than ever, the answer is yes. A lot of depressing things going on out there. And as you look at 2019, just around the corner here in a few days, will it be that much different than 2018? The Bible says only those things done for Christ will last. Everything that we see is going to be the hay, wood, and stubble that's going to burn. And those precious jewels, the things that you do for Jesus. In just the last week, how many things have there been? Yeah, depression, it's real in more ways than one. But my friend, we have someone very special if you know Jesus Christ as Savior. He is not an answer, as most of us know. Oh no, He is the absolute answer, period. Have you ever been saved? Good start today. Trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, for whosoever, that's you, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I love it, my friend. Well, no one wants to spend Christmas in the hospital, but those who have to in order to be near loved ones are in for a treat. 13-year-old Jerry Hatcher Jr. made a very special trip to the Scottish Rite Hospital Children's Healthcare Center in Atlanta, Georgia, on Christmas Eve to treat patients and visitors to breakfast or lunch at the holiday cafeteria. What? The preteen saved $1,300 from his allowance and other various odd jobs over the last 12 months for a generous occasion, a tradition that he's kept alive now for the past several Christmases. 13 years old. "It's Christmas time," Jerry said in a statement to the hospital. "No one should be suffering at a hospital this time of year." He said he hopes he was not only able to spread some cheer, but offset some of the financial burden to stay in the hospital. Well, you did it, kid. "It's the small things that make the biggest difference because hospital bills are enough," he explained. "You can pay anywhere from $6 to $25 just to get a meal, and that adds up quickly." Jerry explained this tradition was inspired by his own family's stay in the hospital shortly after his twin brother Javier was born. His family explained their younger son was born with a mass that took up two-thirds of his lungs. Little Javier was admitted to the hospital in 2013 when what was supposed to be a couple-of-day stay turned into 3 weeks lasting over Christmas. So there came the lesson. 13-year-old boy buying lunch and breakfast with his savings of $1,300. Yeah, wonderful people come in all ages. Isn't that great? Tip of the hat to Jerry Hatcher Jr. And finally, today's bumper sticker: driver carries no cash. He's married. And she lets him keep that on the... You've been listening to Hello World. I'm Greg Patton. We come your way each day at this time. We're grateful for your presence, and we like you to like us on Facebook. Follow us, Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. Thanks so much for being here. New Year's is just around the corner. I'm Greg Patton. God bless. Enjoy the remainder of your day.